CrowPod contains language and themes which may not be suitable for anyone, but what is suitable for everybody is the great stuff from our friends at The Famous, iconic wear for bears. Go check out thefamousheadwear.co.uk. Great stuff over there. And if you want to win some stuff from them, scroll down, hit the Buy Me a Coffee link in the show notes on this episode that you're listening to right now. We give away stuff from them every single month here on the CrowPod. So check them out, thefamousheadwear.co.uk.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, welcome back to another episode. Oh, fuck.
That's wow. Fucking hell. Leave that one in.
So the CrowPod, the show where various middle-aged men sit here and complain for future sociologists to be able to come back and analyze how modern society worked in the 21st century. And David, you're going to be happy to know. So I went to get a coffee. You know, I was talking to you before we got on the show here. I went to get a coffee. I ran to the mayor, and the mayor of Rockford, I believe, is going to come onto a show with me and you. So the mayor of the fifth largest city in Illinois is going to come onto a podcast with me and you. Why? To spread the gospel of this beautiful city.
Fucking hell. Oh my God, that's a frightening thing to anticipate on a Friday afternoon. Can you imagine if we had the Scottish equivalent, if we got on, you know, Susan Aitken?
we're going to have to take it easy. He is Catholic, so we are going to have to take it easy on him. We're going to avoid all that.
Listen, who likes Catholics more than me? Don't answer that. Right.
Where is it you live again?
I would like if anyone ever moves here who is of a different persuasion to everyone else than that. We have but I was mentioning that last week, wasn't I? You could tell it's a Friday, can't you? Because it's we're all a little D-mob happy, and I think we're all trying to get as much enjoyment.
We haven't had Rangers to watch for 2 weeks. It's been crazy.
Yeah, but we're also trying to enjoy it as much as we can because we've got Rangers back tomorrow, and I think we're all looking at the next two fixtures and going, well, fuck.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
Hello. I'm fine. Welcome to the bin fire that is the United Kingdom.
Yes.
Hey, you guys are welcome. Look, we sent our greatest export, Arthur Laffer's horrible fucking ideas to you guys. Mm. So enjoy that shit.
Well, we've made it dead simple. We've abolished the exchange rate, so a pound is now a dollar. Mm-hmm. So we can just let you guys come across and buy everything.
Well, hey, it's great. Look, the fourth kit is very, very cheap now whenever I don't buy it. So, yeah.
Very cheap, very ugly, but unfortunately very, very...
I saw, you know, on Twitter yesterday, I said, look, we've got two kits that aren't as good as the last time Umbro redid them from the 1980s. A third kit that we're never going to wear. And a fourth kit that's a rehash. Well, I was thinking it was the admin season one, but that one was actually decent because that was that one with the chevron, as Alex pointed out. It's the 12-13, except we put a red stripe on it instead of just blue stripe. Whoa! Just
blue stripe. Yeah, whoa. You're right. It's not as good as that black with a light blue pinstripe that we had under Umbro. But yeah, I'm not a huge fan of the season's kit. The home one's okay, but as you say, not as good as previous ones.
I'm literally like, I'm wearing the fucking 910 shirt, you know, like the Adu shirt right now. Yeah. So it's the same fucking shirt. And again, that's just a rehash of the, what was it, the 88 shirt or what, the
one with the little button out. Yeah. 87 to 90. The away shirt is all right, but not as good as we've discussed as previous Monaco style.
Well again, the last time we had that shirt, I think, was the Paul Le Guin season. So
it was, yes. Yeah.
Begging them out this year. Thank you for reminding me of all the fucking horrible seasons that we've
The third one's fine. I have no problems with the third
one. We're never gonna wear. Well, the women have worn it, haven't they? Yeah. The women have worn it.
And the fourth one's just fucking horrendous. But as we've got bigger fish to fry over here at the moment, because yes, we've decided over here, for reasons best known only to the people who actually did it, and I include their own party and own party supporters in this, and their backers, because the markets turned around and went, the Bank of England were forced to step in and go, there's a great Simpsons, there's always a Simpsons line for everything, and we like to get across in this show. It's when
Peter, by the way, the Simpsons is a television program that started on Fox in about 1989.
Well, it's a documentary,
it's still on today.
Yes, it's increasingly so. But Homer fakes being a pilot so he can drink in a pilot's only bar, and he goes into the cockpit, trying to. And they're looking at him to start the plane. So his finger hovers over the button, and then it's eventually moving to one, and his co-pilot, in this case the Bank of England, step in and go, "We'll need that to live." And that's exactly what's happened with our current economic thing. Now, I absolutely love the situation that Liz Truss has managed to get herself in 3 weeks, incidentally, 3 weeks, because she can't come out and say, "No, my policy is correct and I'm going to stick to it come hell or high water," because if she does that, the markets will tumble again. There will be another reaction.
Yeah, further.
And she can't come out and say, "Actually, we accept this was a mistake, we're going to change it back," because then she'll be completely and utterly finished. So she's having to be utterly silent. She did a round of local.
Well, no, she did the local. Was that yesterday? The local interview? Oh, yeah. Holy fucking shit. Peter. I would rather send Peter Ewart out to do local interviews than what the fuck she did yesterday.
She was ragdolled from Bristol to Leeds to Preston, and it wasn't, you know, it wasn't shock jock stuff. It was, you know, "What have you been doing?" Questions about her policies that you might think you'd like to know the answer to. But today we've managed to get the pound back to where it was against the dollar before this time last week, and it's only cost $65 billion. So there you go.
Excuse me, Jesus Christ. I think it was Radio Leeds she was on. She was talking about the price fix for your gas for your heating bills. And you know, she's talking about, "Oh, we got which one?" No, you didn't. You didn't get fixed to 2,500 pounds. So setting that aside, the woman was like, "Yeah, but you did that before you announced the We want to talk about the past 4 days, not what you did last Friday, what you did this week. Like, we made sure that we got gas bills stuck. No, not that. We covered that one. We're good there. Let's talk about the fact that mortgages just went up fucking 800% in a day. Or
Did you see the opinion poll that came out after the last 2 days?
Well, I saw Labour looks okay.
Labour looks okay, but the prediction of it was initially, before she did the interviews, but after everything had gone to shit, it predicted a Labour landslide around about the same as 97 Tony Blair. After her round of interviews calmed the nation, it has got the predicted seats are that the Conservative Party would have 3. Now... Now, obviously that won't happen, but Jesus Christ, that's impressive. That you could, the pollsters are sitting going, did somebody put LSD into my? Because that's what I'm coming out with. Could you check this for me? And the guy's like, "No, all right, your figures are right. It's coming out at 3.
Peter, are you ready to stand for the Crow Pod party in the coming election? Because I'm going to get this thing started now. Let's go.
Well, I mean, there are some European examples of off the wall parties. Poland and Hungary had people in for the beer party, which seemed a bit populist, but actually got elected.
Hungary has someone in that's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Isn't it? I
mean... yeah. No, the guy from Bristol. The BBC Bristol guy interviewing, and she started into Putin. Oh, it was Putin. It's like, no, we can blame Putin for loads of things. You can't blame it for this.
No.
And she just had no answer. It was those really awkward silences of like 5-10 seconds, you know, like, oh my God.
But yeah, and then just say the same thing that she just said again.
Yeah.
It's like, no, all right, yeah, we heard that. Let's try this one another way.
This is something Shane and I in our more serious shows, have banged on about when we've done Watergate and political stuff before. Always historical, because as we always say, we prefer our politicians to be dead for a while before we start talking about them. But one of the things, whether you like them or not, and it's the same with Johnson, is you've got to be able to communicate. Now, Johnson's style could be a bit infuriating to people that didn't like him, but there wouldn't be those silences, because Peter's absolutely correct. The worst thing in any form of... broadcast is that awkward dead silence.
Dead air will,
it hurts. And it's one of the reasons why, like, on Heart and Hand and Crowpod and stuff, all of us have to kind of interact and be friends. It's one of the rules that we're not going to get on with everybody, but so that you know who you've got a rapport with, basically, so you don't go on a situation where you've got two people who just have no chemistry whatsoever. And I don't think in the old days you could have got by with that, because you would have to go out and campaign. But this is what happens when you've got a leader who wasn't properly elected, because she's not been out to the country to do this. I'm beginning to suspect the Tories want a wee rest, right? I'm beginning to suspect that the next election, they're like, look, the world's going to be a bit shite for 5-6 years, right? Let's let them come in, because they don't, Labour don't have any fucking clue either. Let's not kid ourselves.
I think I was talking with Andy and Rob, and Andy, who, makes Putin look left wing. The Tories are doing, like, they've learned the less, obviously, you guys, like, the Tories have the same campaign managers that the Republicans have had over here. Well, fuck, Labour has the same campaign managers that Republicans had over here. It's like, all right, just go ahead and do it. Because once it's done, it's harder to undo. Mm. And then fuck it. we'll see where it goes in 5 years.
Who gives a shit? Yeah. We won't be in. And then
no, you don't have to admire it. You just have to live with it.
But I have this great vision at the moment of Labour Party HQ and Keir Starmer. He's brought together all of the cabinet, right? The shadow cabinet. And he sat them down in a room and he said, look, to win the next election, all we have to do for the next 2 years is not say anything. And the party have said, well, what do you mean anything? And he said, nothing at all, right? Just nothing. Yeah. Don't say anything stupid. We can't be pulled up on it, and we will romp the next election. And they're all sitting there, and then in the corner, one of them has went, trans people should be allowed to go in a women's changing room. No, shut the fuck up. That's exactly what I'm talking about. That. So he's going to have to basically lock the entire Labour shadow cabinet in a room, right?
Well, see, Peter, I mean, how do you feel about making fun of Italian people used to just be a joke, but now it's very serious because there's a fascist running the goddamn country. I mean, it's a woman, so I mean, they made strides in that regard. Mm. But it literally, look, our good friend Chris Graham, a very good friend of ours, has said you can't call him fascist. Well, all right, now that Italy's doing it, I think we can call it again. Like, it is fascism now, right? Now that Italy's jumped on board, we can officially call it what it is. But that's horrifying.
There are three places in the country that remain conservative voting. So which three are they? And can you imagine being the Labour candidate sent to that?
that's where they're sending Tony Blair to campaign. Keep him out the road. He can go to those three and nowhere else. The thing about this Italian lady, whose name is Meloni, melons, right? I mean, Monty, only in Italy would be, right? But First of all, it's an absolute fucking disgrace, this woke nonsense that we have, that the reboot of Mussolini is actually being played by a woman. That's just complete goes against it. This is like Ghostbusters all over again. And the other thing about it is people are saying to me, oh, we need to worry, you know, Italy, far-right government. And I'm like, oh, they'll just fucking change halfway through. They've got previous. So, you know, a communist in 6 weeks, don't worry about it. It'll pass.
There's one for every football season, just about, isn't there?
Oh, okay.
That's about the average length.
Oh, Italian Parliament looks fun though, because it's this is true, incidentally, in the Guinness Book of World Records, the book brought in to settle fights in taverns, as we know, the world record for most physical brawls in a parliament is held by Italy.
That's only because Andrew Jackson was in Congress for all of 6 years.
Yeah. I mean, you guys are in there, but not for a while, to be fair. You guys are. But yes, the most physical brawl is held. Lithuania is quite a quick climber. They moved up in that as well. But the Italians are the master of, I think we should raise taxes. I think we should keep taxes down. Fucking outside you, you cunt. Come on. Right, enough of this. I've had enough of you, fucking naysaying.
Rangers actually made it onto a big streaming show this week. I don't know if you guys are, you know, like, foregoing any offers from Amazon or Netflix or fucking whatever. We made it onto a big streaming, like a main series this week. Did you see this?
No.
No, is this a Bisgrove product placement?
No, it's on the Wrexham series, and we made it for the 1980 Scottish Cup final.
Okay.
Wasn't really our fault, was it?
No, but yeah, well, I get what, any publicity is good publicity, right?
Yeah, there, I mean,
yeah. Well, I mean, people are going to have to Wikipedia us now, so yeah.
Yeah, well, oh, what was the... Yes, right, that's a brilliant story. You might not have seen it yet, Shane. It's the kind of thing you'd be interested in, I'm very sure, because today came the news that David Goodwillie, recall, the whole thing.
Oh, a wonderful man. Yeah.
He has been... He's been ironic, folks, just before we get the list of complaints. He has been released by Raith Rovers. Now, last night, and I love the speed of all of this, right? Last night at round about 6 o'clock, Glasgow Clan, the ice hockey side in Glasgow, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They, a big family club, very, very keen to get that across, big family club, yeah. Right? Have been. But they're having an unsuccessful season. They haven't won any games so far. And there's a lot of unhappiness, as you can imagine, and a lot of people, you know, suggesting that there needs to be change at the club. So the club announced last night, don't worry, we've got news coming tonight at 7 o'clock, and you're not to worry, it's not a statement, wink, wink, right? Ha, 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 very funny. So people began to think it must be a signing. It was a signing. It was the signing of a Finnish ice hockey player who had to leave the college in America at to flee charges for rape. Oh. He cannot go back to America because if he does, he will be arrested, and yeah, he will be charged with rape. He has admitted in interviews, incidentally, that he did carry out this rape. So they announced this. The fans do exactly what you just suggested there. They Google the player. I can't even pronounce his name. It's an unpronounceable.
Oh, it's Finnish. I mean, yeah,
Finnish,
whatever.
Like, yeah, really...
there's a lot of I's and A's back to back for whatever reason.
So my apologies there. They announced this, and the people all go online to see who this chap is. And the first thing that comes up are dozens and dozens of stories from the US about this Finnish man who skipped bail to return to Finland because he was being charged with rape. Their fans hit the fucking roof, understandably. Yeah. Like, why are you signing this guy? Then, this is the best part, I think. Then, to calm the furore, they put out a video in which they say they have addressed this. Right, okay. Well, that's brave. So they sit, and their interviewer says, ah, you've been cleared of all these charges. And he says, yes, that's correct. Whereas, again, if you Google, the first thing it says is he hasn't been cleared of any charges. What the district attorney...
I'm looking right now. They're still pending.
Yeah, the district attorney said...
Yeah, I think the DA would like to talk to him.
Yeah, he said, look, we're not going to, you know, go at the expense of getting him extradited.
Extraditing. And
the, But yeah, the charges remain there, and if he ever comes back, he will be arrested on As soon as he gets into America, he would be arrested.
Well, I showed you Peter before we got on. I was talking with David, on our little group chat with Todd, who's still suspended in Italy, by the way. If anybody's looking for him, happy birthday, by the way, Todd.
Happy yesterday, Todd.
Yeah. What is he now? 50? Is he 55?
I think he's 55 or 56. Yeah.
And he's right around there. I mean, we're not 56, but he might be. But no, Peter, right before, sadly, I had to show. Share with David, a very good friend of mine. I went out last night for the first time in like a month and had a beer and a half, and I was already, because I don't drink anymore. I haven't had a cigarette. I don't drink, whatever. And but ran into a friend of ours who sadly her significant other decided to use her as a Everlast bag kind of a thing. Man. I feel bad for wherever he might be right now.
He will be found. He will.
Yeah.
Again, Shane. Yeah, let's not say about
illegal things. Look, it's a very big country.
Let's not broadcast about illegal things we might do.
I'm not doing anything illegal. I'm just talking about it.
Not yet. Just to finish up though, on this story. So they put this interview out.
Finish up.
Hey, they put this interview out, right? And the fans go, that's an out-and-out lie, right? I mean, and then, of course, the fans say, hang on. The fact you interviewed him about this means you can't even say you didn't know about these charges because you clearly did, right? So 8 o'clock, 2 hours, right, this is. They post up an announcement saying he will not be signing for the club, right, within 2 hours. 10 minutes after that, they delete that tweet and put it back up, but without the sponsor. The club sponsor, because clearly the club sponsor have got get to fuck. We're no longer do this. So within a 3 hour period, this club have managed to fuck off their entire support, right? Yeah. Offend everyone in it, lose their sponsors, not sign a player, and get themselves in every newspaper in the country.
So what you're telling me is that in 3 hours, they caught up to the last 20 years of the SPFL.
Fucking spectacular meltdown. And the reason the Goodwill thing came up, it was like, well, to be fair to them, there's no guideline of what happens when you sign a rapist. I mean, there's not been any comparable. Right, here's the thing.
Well, has Graham Spears written a column about this guy yet?
He doesn't have a column anymore to do. So
Whatever. Has he done a podcast that a hell of a lot fewer people listen to than us?
He'll do a podcast with the bloke, probably. But
by the way, hi Graham, because I know you listen.
He does listen. But the thing about this is, let me just offer a broad stroke, and I admit this, right? It's a broad stroke.
I think the problem for the Finnish lad is that he offered a broad stroke. Might be the issue there.
This particular, just this situation, any situation, I'm going to give you some catch-all advice, right? And I admit there's no nuance to it. See if there's a rapist available for your sports club to sign. Don't sign him. Right, there you go. It's that simple. See if a rapist is there and you look into this player and he's really good and you can't understand why he's so cheap and you Google him and up it comes that he's a rapist. Don't sign him. Because normal people who love their club are not going to be too keen on a fucking rapist representing them. So, honest to fuck, what goes on in people's heads?
Peter, which SPFL club is signing the next rapist? Fuck it. We got 8 minutes to kill before the break. Who's doing it next?
Well, they signed a TV deal. It means no one's getting any money, so they're probably signing nobody at all.
Yeah. That's gang. Hibs would do a month later.
Well, that's the Americans, though. The Americans are trying to buy all British football clubs, it seems, and we're making it easier by making the pound such a...
Yeah, we are.
Fuck. I mean, I might just buy one now. I mean, fuck it.
This is your week. This is your week to take over. Anyone you fancy. We want. What was that club you told us about last week, Peter? That's the one me and Shane want to buy.
Oh, Ballymacash. Yes.
Yes.
By the way, this part of the Crow Pod is brought to you by Ballymacash Rangers. Ulster football. There's also David on the Heart and Hand that's looking for a shirt for me. So hopefully hopefully that one's coming soon. So yeah, I'm looking forward to my Ballymacash Rangers top.
We're going to make a formal tender for Ballymacash Rangers, and we're going to sit there, as I say, like a sort of like a video rental version of Ryan Reynolds and the other one from Wrexham.
Rob McElhinney.
The
one with the Welsh sounding name who's not Welsh at all.
He's not Welsh, yeah. That'll be us, right? We'll sit there and we'll have them in. We'll make those kind of promises that new club owners who know fuck all about football do. And remember Venky's at Blackburn? We are going to take this club to a different level. Yeah, the championship.
Honestly, Pedro, I'm going to send you a $10 note. And the next time you're over, just hand it to him and I'll go ahead and sign the deeds after that.
Well, I mean,
I think that'll take care of it.
In 10 years' time, every EPL club will be American owned. Wrexham will be in there as well, probably. Mm. And the one I love from Todd Bowley was the All Star game.
Jesus fucking shit.
I mean, not.
It's like you've been in the house for 5 fucking days, man. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, but if I'd spent $3 billion on something, I'd want to play with it.
But it's not real money. It's not real money. I mean, it's Monopoly money.
Well, how about this, though? You're going to love this. Have you seen the shortlist for Chelsea's new director of football?
I saw that they had to fire the guy for noising up the little Asian woman that was representing the other.
They're trying to get the guy from Leeds.
Yeah, they're trying to get the chap from Leeds. Makes perfect sense. They're trying to get Monchi. Yeah. Remember him? Monchi? Yeah. They're trying to get him.
Not to be confused with Bayal Mazni?
No. They are looking at Inter Milan's technical director. A very sensible move as well. Right, yeah. And Lee Congerton, former temporary head scout at Celtic, the man responsible. How the fuck is he on that list? Right?
Jesus Christ.
Did you read that in the Daily Record?
I mean, it's the thing, is it? Because, like, once you're in, you're in. It's like Malky McKay keeps getting jobs. Graham Rick's got jobs. Like, it's once you're there, you're there. You never go away.
I really want to see Todd Bowley's list for strikers, because I genuinely believe that it says Kylian Mbappe, Mauro Icardi, Christian Deutsch, and Erling Braut Haaland. Right, I mean, how the fuck is this bloke on this list?
Inzaghi's on there.
That's fucking mental. And it's like, oh, I hope he gets it. I really do. I hope he gets it, because fuck me, man. And Shane's right, though. It's the law of Steve Bruce. Once you are in it, it's actually more difficult. Steve Bruce
was it 55 years now he's had a job in football?
He's been trying to retire since 2002.
And they won't let him. He wants to sell that peanut farm, and they won't let him sell it.
He wants to go and write his detective novels. He does not want to be a football manager, but they simply won't. Roy Hodgson, poor bastard, they dragged out last year at Watford.
He went to Sweden and then they brought him back. He's like, all right, no, I'm out. Right. No, Roy, come on.
74 years old and he's out there in fucking -5 at January watching Watford get stuffed. Watford, who are, of course, onto their third manager since that. I love Watford. I mean, honest to fuck, you just knew it, didn't you? You're like, I wonder who'll go for. Oh, yeah, Watford.
But Steve Bruce is the perfect example, because the family gives you the son of football manager who becomes professional footballer, Alex Bruce, who's made a living out of it. It's just that can't be right.
Wait. Is Ferguson's kid still?
Yeah, well, I was going to say, Steve Bruce's family actually do complete the Trinity, as Alex Ferguson did it as well. What he's got, as you say, he's got the son who is a player, Alex Bruce. He also has the other son who is an agent, because of fucking course.
Yeah, of course.
And how many of his clients do you think, percentage-wise, have signed for one of his dad's clubs?
I got to check with Mark Warburton's daughter before we do the math on that one.
Holy shit, the most honest to fuck, man. It's all these guys who are just such great football agents that they can only sell clients to their dad.
Well, what was it? Didn't Davey Weir, did he get an offer somewhere? I thought I saw. Isn't he back doing something? Speaking of, you know, that kind of a deal.
No, he was at Brighton. I know that, but I think you're right. I think he did get a move somewhere to like a. I think he might be in a sort of technical director.
Peter, I thought I saw that.
Yeah, I thought so too. But
Well, yeah, I mean, I would think, you know, well, whenever we get Edmondson House done in like 2023, sorry, 2033 rather, we could probably just stick him in like a, just like, it's the Davey Weir wing, and it's literally just a hallway with Davey Weir at the end of it. I think he would take the money for it.
Yeah, I mean, he's a very intelligent guy, Davey Weir.
He is. Hey, University of Louisville. I mean, he played football against my brother in college. So there's my claim to fame. Well, because my brother graduated, you know, way back then. He's much older than me. But yeah, he played football against my brother in college over here in the U.S.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. When he was a striker banging in 30 goals for the University of Louisville. So.
We had a bit of a thing on Heart and Hand the other day, and I just want to bring this up to a bigger audience. I've already said
Is this the House of Pain gate?
It is, yes. it's exactly that. And I want it to get to as wide an audience as possible. So on a Friday, my good friend Colin does the daily update to give me a Friday off, right? Which you've ruined today, by the way, Shane, but never mind.
You're the one to pick the day.
No, it wasn't. It was Pia.
Weren't you? Oh, yeah, it was. Well, yeah. I think it was all three of us somehow.
But
fuck you, Todd. God damn it, Todd.
Yeah, he's selfish Canadian bastard.
Son of a bitch.
And I saw his photographs from Italy, and his wife's quite hot, despite the fact he looks like a trucker. I mean, fuck me, man. it's just so unfair. But, yeah, so Colin hosts a daily update on a Friday. And folks, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. I don't listen to it, right? look, if you've been fucking working at Starbucks making coffee all day, the last thing you want to do in your day off is make another fucking coffee, okay? So,
this is because I host everything on ours, so I never listen to it. And I don't have to pretend like I listen to anybody else's shit. It's, either I'm talking and I hear you guys talking to me, or I don't fucking hear it at all.
So exactly, right. So, so I, and as anyone who knows Heart and Hand will know, I keep a Stalin-esque grip on the music that's played on the website, right? It's the only thing that I am a total freak about. Like,
so no Dexy's Midnight Runners is dropping in there as well.
No Dexy's, right? No Pokes. but just no shite, right? I mean, I don't, you know. Like he said to me the other day, because of course we saw who was it that died the other day, Coolio, and he said I'm going to play Gangster's Paradise. I said, well, firstly there's a Celtic Connect, but secondly, no, you're not, because it's shite, right?
Yeah. Weird Al did it better. Let's be honest,
100%. Right, it's a terrible song. So I allow him on a Friday to pick his own music. It doesn't go on the playlist, obviously, but he is allowed to pick it. So he picked Jump Around by House of Pain, and of course the listener started going, House of Pain,
what
really?
The fuck?
And he didn't have a clue. And I was like, how the fuck can you not know that? And he's like, well, what do you mean? And I'm like, you should just know. But then he asked a question, which to be fair was sensible. And he said, well, how am I supposed to know that? And I thought, well, you just should. And I think it's your inner Rangersness should make you know this. Your innate red, white, and blue ability should make you know this. But he did. Well, so.
David, it's on the curriculum at half the schools in Northern Ireland to know that.
Our buddy Rob McDougall there, you know, Stuart's nephew, or you know, our buddy up there in New Hampshire, they're actually from Los Angeles. Despite, you know, all their claiming of Boston this and all this, they're actually from fucking L.A.
who'd have thought there were 8th generation Irish people claiming fake lineage? we never get that in Scotland.
Not only that, claiming Boston via the fake lineage.
Oh, yeah. I remember one time there was a Celtic fan having a go at me online about some anti-Irish thing or other, and he said,
well, I mean, it beats a Rangers fan having to go at you. So.
Exactly. I said, what generation, back when I didn't just block them on site, which I do now, but I said, well, if you don't mind me asking, I said, are you Irish? He said, I'm third generation Irish. I said, well, I'm first generation Irish, so you can fuck off. I'm more Irish than you are. which was 100% correct. So don't you get on to me. Don't you appropriate my culture, you prick. Right? you're 1/32nd Irish. I'm half. So one to me, I feel.
very much.
Well, there are longtime CrowPod listeners shocked to know that Peter is actually from Northern Ireland now, because I can actually hear him as opposed to in the old days.
The Guinness Book of Records stuff, and this also segues into footballing families. Do you remember back in the 90s, David and Shane, you may be aware of weekly magazines called Match and Shoot? All your good stuff. David, do you remember the 90s footballer who was reputed to have the hardest kick?
Was it Albert?
No. So think footballing families. And think you're going down to Man City here.
Oh, right, football and families, 90s.
And this stuck in my head for no apparent reason. In terms of retaining absolutely useless information, Nicky Somerby.
Nicky Somerby, of course, yes.
And, you know, they had this sort of pre-soccer AM stuff of someone that would almost go down with a speed gun, and it would be the big videos you see.
Like the slap shot thing that they do in hockey.
You would kind of get that in the new All-Star game that Bowley's going to bring in. but apparently speeds have gone up. So it was 80-odd then, and they're talking now it's well over 100, I think, for footballers.
Who would now, do you reckon? Because some English commentator will say, oh, Ronaldo range, and it's like the guy hasn't scored a free kick since Jesus was kicking about, so I don't think it is him, to be honest with you. Who's got the, you know, today marks, I think, something like 32 years since Stuart Pearce scored that goal at Old Trafford. Do you know that one? Yeah. Where he's about a mile out and he's just fucking welling.
That one,
And there was, remember the, obviously, we've, as Rangers fans, got all the Alberts ones, but remember the John Arnarisa one for Liverpool against Man United that damn near took the rigging off. I'm trying to think, who would you reckon has the heart? Not, you know, the best curling free kick, but the actual hardest smash. Just
putting the laces through.
Just this is
the ship pinger, as the kids call it these days.
Yeah, the guy that just, you see him wandering up and a lot of them might end up in the next postcode, but one or two of them will occasionally, because it seems to be a bit of a dying art, doesn't it? The big fucking welly into the wall, and if one of them gets in the road, then it's on their loved one's insurance.
You're going to end up down the leagues, I think. It's going to be a centre half from Patrick and Stanley. Yeah. That's going to.
Well, God, there was that non-league guy that was doing the rounds. Did you see that? The big, I mean, he looks like a fucking painter, big fat motherfucker, but, you know, he's a number nine for whatever non-league side is. And he's chasing this one down the wing. And so, like, does the outside boot, you know, the outside of the boot curl from basically the corner flag. Back, because the goalie comes out to try to, you know, dispossess it, misses completely. He does the outside of the boot curl. This guy's just like, fuck, give me a fag. That's it for me. I'm done.
I did see that. The guy tweeted, he said, it's a tragedy that this lad has abused his body with alcohol and kebabs, because otherwise we've missed out on a singular talent.
It says Jamie Vardy. I mean, Jamie Vardy lived that dream for that man.
This guy, obviously skillful, but, you know, or the sacrifice and dedication.
He's got the Chris Boyd dedication to football.
Yeah, fuck that, man. I'm not going that route. Boyd can
I'll tell you, I grabbed, a friend of mine came out for the Europa League final that we will never discuss again. But he left me with the 1976 or something goal? Yeah, the 1976 goal annual, which does features Sandy Jardine on the cover. Very nice.
Ready?
But I just turned in here. So we've got amongst the headlines, my secret wish to join rivals Burrow, admits Newcastle fullback Alan Kennedy. But I flip back through. We got Alex McDonald here. Opposite who was this here? Alan Woodward. He's opposite the old Sheffield United Alan Woodward, with his big honking Velcro strapped shin guards on and his beautiful World Cup ears that look like they've seen about 5 years of service. But Alex McDonald just has his nice solid, you know, kind of like the Castor jumper that we had last year. The one good thing that Castor made last year, that nice the solid blue jumper with just the badge and the little like the pocket, like the hoodies have, you know, the little pouch pocket. So he's wearing this, and he made sure to cross his hands in such a position that that big bastarding Freemason's ring is hanging out there.
Well, if you don't let them know, I mean, what's the point of being a stonecutter if you don't? Like,
that ginger, as ginger as McDonald was, and just letting that thing fly, babe.
Yeah, I mean, that if you don't have your stonecutter ring showing, you're not going to be able to get your Buzz Cola from the machine. So,
or red cola, as it were.
I am drinking red cola as we speak. at the moment, there was an absolute disaster last week when I did the weekly shop, and they had none, so I had to buy wholesale red cola. So I've got like maybe,
five cases of red cola.
Basically, yeah, I've got like four 24, so 96 bottles of red cola to get through. Significantly less now, right enough. But I've kind of hit this stage. My dad's very similar, which is why he's skinny guy. Where eating is just like a pain in the arse to me, and I only really do it when I'm really hungry. So I'm thinking I can make up the calories by just drinking a lot of really sugary fizzy shite to try and, but if that will do, and see if that works. I'm not sure long term that's a viable plan, but we'll see how it goes for the next couple of months.
Oh, fuck. You know, let's grab the break here quick. Come right back and do this exact same thing for another 40 minutes, right? I mean, there's nothing else to talk about, but quick break, right back.
Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, welcome back into part two here of the Crow Pod. As always, scroll down, hit the Buy Me a Coffee link, or go to support.thecopelandroad.org. Give us a hand. If you like what we do, we're giving away stuff from the famous. Actually, it's the end of the month. So if you're listening to this right now, I'm going to go find a few names to give stuff away to once we get done recording here. Like I said, you help us out. How about the show? You know, look, I gave all the content away for free. Davey's a fucking shyster, you know, the tight-fisted motherfucker. You got to pay him to get stuff. For me, all for free, but if you help us out, it's great. And I got to give a shout-out here. We have some new members this week. Let's see, at Kumba5, because I don't know your actual name. Our buddy Davey, Chris Graham actually signed up for a whole year. Hi, Buckles. How you doing, Chris? No, if you are Brian, Allie, Alex, Dave Five, a bunch of other people. So thank you guys all for helping us out. Of course, I'll always go help our friends over there, the Erskine Appeal and the Beats and Cancer Charity. All right, shit, I always forget fucking Boydie's the East Kilbride. he got in touch to say, I don't rub people gently. In fact, it's quite the opposite. So,
well, he would say that, wouldn't he?
And of course, as always, there's a couple charities that we're always helping out. If you scroll down in the show notes, even if you don't give us any money, help them out. A couple good charities that we're always doing over there. This week, me and Peter actually started. Well, Peter was there for the new show. Don't ask me no questions. Which, Dave, remember what I told you when I finished my new room, that I was listening to that song and I was like, I gotta come up with a show just to make this the intro, and I did. So me and Peter talked about the television contract. There's a bunch of other stuff. Like I said, if you're listening to this on Heart and Hand, by all means, keep doing so. But there's a bunch of other Crowpod content. Speaking of which, Sunday,
David. Yeah, I was going to say, which you can also get on that, man. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so Sunday, there's a Crowpod show that's coming up over there. It's the Crowpod Explains America series I do with our buddy Colin out there in Oregon. Franchise ships. Like, why do American sports teams move all the fucking time? So, if you want to know why every fucking American sports team is like Livingston, now you can find out. So that's coming on Heart and Hand Sunday. But like I said, if you do all the shit and you only listen to us there, just search for the Crowpod wherever the fuck you get your podcast. Like I said, it's free. If you like the sound of my voice, God help you. But there's a lot more of it during the week than what you get here. And me and David, of course, finished the narrative portion of the Wiregate 50 series. Sadly, not 9 episodes, and I think I counted 15 hours, maybe.
Wow.
That we've done somewhere around there. So that is the narrative portion is done. But we're going to do at least one, if not two, episodes where you guys can help us out. Wherever you listen to us, if you like the Wiregate series, like I said, if you go down the show notes of that one, there's a link and click. You can basically leave us a voicemail with whatever questions you have or comments, concerns. Actually, concerns you can keep. Questions or comments we'll take as long as they're nice. If they're rude, I don't give a fuck.
Nice. Be polite.
Yeah. No, we love you guys. David, I think you we've got some breaking news while we're recording. Again, if you're listening to this on Sunday, it's not going to be breaking news. No. But if you're doing it right now, it is.
Well, you know how we're going to Ross County on Christmas Eve?
I'm very much looking forward to being in my pajamas watching us play Ross County at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I my wife is very long suffering and very puts out with a lot of shit with my Ranger stuff.
I put up with a lot of shit with your Ranger stuff, and I'm not married to you.
Yeah, so. I put up with a lot of shit from Rangers, and I'm not married to them. But she did put her foot down and say, no, you're not fucking going to Dingwall. And it's funny because I love Ross County; they're a wonderful club. They are. Yeah, manager accepted. They treat you really well. I get on with the staff there, and actually saw their PR guy, and he said, "Will you be up at Christmas Eve?" And I said, "No, I'm afraid I won't be up that day." And he said, "Well, I'll be drunk because that's what I do on Christmas Eve." He says, "I'll be in work, but I plan to be really drunk." And I said, "Well, that's the best way to watch Scottish football, in my opinion." But the SPFL and their infinite wisdom have decided that we shall play Aberdeen, the fixture that was postponed there, on Tuesday, December the 20th. So if you have tickets for both these games, folk, just stay over. Just go out there for the week. Up there in the Monday.
Peter, what hotel would you recommend up there?
Oh, God knows. It reminds me, I mean, you get up beyond Aviemore and it all gets a bit, yeah. We played Elgin and I had a quick look. It was the 22nd of December 2012.
Oh, God, I remember that one.
Yeah, it was horrific weather. Went up. It was blowing a hooey. We won 6-2 on the way back down the road in the A9. A Rangers fan's bus had stopped to remove a tree from the road and that sort of stuff. So, yeah, they love sending us up north at Christmas, but imagine the number of Christmas dinners that are going to be ruined.
Oh, by the amount of guys that won't be able to eat because they've been on it for...
With our fucking away form too, that might be 2 points if we're doing good. Fuck a lot of Christmases this year.
Absolutely, but it's interesting because we're going to Anfield next week, right? And there was a bit of a ticket scramble for it, as you can imagine, because it's a big game. You know, Liverpool versus Rangers. I have my feels about it, if I'm being absolutely honest with you.
Yeah, they've kind of sorted out their issues there.
Don't necessarily think it'll be the funnest 2 hours I've ever had watching Rangers, but I'm going down to it. But then a mate of mine said, I might go down. I said, oh, did you get a ticket? He went, no. And I said, right, I don't get it. He said, well, have you never gone abroad when you didn't have a ticket? I said, well, yes, but there's a difference between going to I don't know, Amsterdam or going
Seville.
Going to a city that's, you know, warm and lovely, loads of stuff to see, loads of stuff to do, and driving
or Liverpool on the 4th of October.
Or driving for 3 hours in October to get to Liverpool to watch the game in a Wetherspoons and then drive home again on a Tuesday. I'm not quite sure that I see if it was Rangers versus Seville. And you went over there and it's a balmy 25 degrees at the moment. I get that. I do. Yeah. Just go and have a couple of days away with your mates. But you're not going to be able to sell to your missus that you can go, or your man. You're not going to be able to sell that you can go for, you know, 2 or 3 days, are you? Because she's not going to buy, well, I could only get these flights. She's not going to buy that, right? She's going to say, you can fucking drive. You can be home that night. So that is your option. You're going to go to a shabby part of a city that, with all due respect, isn't exactly Rome.
You're going to fall asleep in Stanley Park afterward. You're not going to know how you got. Peter, are you going down for that or no?
No, I nope. Taking David's advice on that one, I'll be walking from the central belt without a ticket.
We're getting together down at the X Pub for me anyway to watch that Tuesday afternoon. So at least, well, I'll have people to commiserate with. I think.
I'm
not expecting the.
You do though, Peter. The
2008 or 2010, whatever the Old Trafford performance there.
Yeah, 2010.
Look, if we just sign Kirk Broadfoot for one night and have him look at someone and their leg be broken, that, you know, that'd be fine.
To be honest, I'd rather lose 6-0 than have Kirk Broadfoot bat in an Angels shirt.
2010 Old Trafford, I watched that game in a very special place in St. Lucia because it was a year after we'd been married.
How long was your fucking honeymoon?
We only went to Greece for the first one. So,
fuck's sake, man.
Now the UK is cheaper than Greece. So.
It's been a year. We should probably go back, love. Aye, all right.
The time difference must be, I don't know what, 2-3 in the afternoon, something like that. All-inclusive resort, weather's gorgeous, beachside bar, big TV, fantastic. I'm not really expecting any bears, but of course you should know better.
It doesn't matter.
Somebody hears me at the bar, and here it is. It's a guy from Cumber, which is about 7 miles down the road from where I'm from in Northern Ireland. So it turned into a very good day indeed. And I would take that result again as well.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, I would suck off a tramp in Stanley Park to get that result, honestly. If you offered me that right now.
Like the George Michael scene in the Extras Christmas special.
Yes. It's so funny, by the way, because we got our press accreditation through, and I was saying to Adam, I said, have you noticed that it's easier for us to get in to a Champions League match at Anfield Stadium, surrounded genuinely by the world's media, than it is to get into Motherwell for Preston? Because obviously abroad and in England, they don't know the difference between Heart and Hand and the Herald. It doesn't mean it means nothing to them, right? It's just a Scottish organisation.
Chris Jack, David Edgar, who gives a fuck? Come on.
Yeah, that's it. The club organise it, so it's that. Whereas domestically, you need to apply directly. And even things like the Rangers Review, which is a mainstream media publication, they can't get to several of the grounds either, like Aberdeen and Motherwell and stuff, because it's Scotland. And they're like, oh, no, you're a Rangers fan. We can't let you in. It's like, yeah, very good, mate. Cheers. quite a bizarre thing. And it's sort of like Rangers are kind of, if you let our fan media in, we'll let yours in, right? We're not trying to be dicks about this here. So they're kind of fucking over their own people there. But yeah, so we're going to Anfield, and Adam said, you know, it's going to be full of like proper journalists and stuff. I was like, oh yeah, the real, you know, the top ones,
Rory and all that sort.
It's going to be international media.
Well, I mean, the Battle of Britain thing again too. Yeah. So obviously, it's going to be even more so.
No, it's going to be huge. So he said, yeah. Well, you know, it's going to be a bit odd when we're all sitting there in the same section and there's two wee guys doing the bouncy before the game starts. I said, yeah, but fortunately, I suspect we won't have much opportunity for bouncing during it. So behavior might be quite good.
My buddy Gareth, I used to work with, he's like me. He's a recovering journalist also. But I mean, he's a big Liverpool supporter, and obviously, I think last year he might have maybe foregone coming to watch the fixture with me. But yeah, he's quite looking forward to it on Tuesday now. It's like, all right, this one doesn't count, man. Like, what? Look, if somehow we get a result, it doesn't count. But if the more likely outcome occurs, it also doesn't fucking count. Like, I don't want this one hung on me for whenever 30 years again when we play, when it actually matters.
I remember years ago on a similar thing. I can't remember the name of the band. It was an indie band, but they'd released an album. This was at a time when indie was really starting to, you know, sell, which it hadn't really done. And their album
LimeWire, basically.
Yeah, no, before that, like 94, right? As Britpop was taking off. But they released their album back when charts were kind of more traditionally put together, you know, no downloads and stuff. It was how many albums you sold. And their album went in at number 2. And I remember in the NME the next week, they said, you know, were you a bit disappointed that you didn't get to number 1? And then the chap from the band said, no, Pink Floyd's new album went to number 1. It's fucking Pink Floyd. they don't count, right?
Peter Pink Floyd is a British band from the 70s, if you're not aware of.
I've heard of them.
He was quite right, though. He's like, you know, fuck it, it's Pink Floyd, right? They're going to go to number 1.
Yeah, Peter, well, and also, Peter, instead of building their walls, they actually tear down the walls. So that's...
at the end of it, that film, right, that movie.
God, I bought it. So it popped up on Amazon one day. It's like, you know, like fucking $6 for the Blu-ray.
Had you never seen it?
Like, yeah. Well, no, I said, no, I was seeing it plenty of times, but, you know, I did, it popped up on a Blu-ray. I was like, oh, fuck it, I'll buy it. And it came with, like, the actual movie, you know, like the cinema poster.
Yeah.
Which is horrifying.
That's like, a scary-ass thing.
Very weird, creepy thing. It's like the, what is it, the Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, like those books with the drawings.
It's Gerald Scarfe. Brilliant animator, but when I was 14 and that summer I discovered alcohol, drugs and girls, right? And you know, that's also the age where you begin to, you know, and guys say, oh, you should listen to this, so, you know, the Velvet Underground and
The Doors and MC5 and shit.
Yeah, like MC5, yeah. and Pink Floyd being very popular for people who are in a different state.
Mindset.
So one night we dropped some acid in the park, because that's kind of what you did, right? go to a park in the middle of fucking
and
winter.
Then before I know it, I'm giving somebody a handy. And
and so we dropped some acid, and they say, right, come on, we'll go back to my house now that you let it hit you so that you felt you were sort of compos mentis enough to get past someone's parents, right, and get into the room. Fuck knows how they couldn't tell we were out of tits, because, I mean, we were like on the roof, man. So we go into his, you know, we get past his parents, and we sit, and he puts on The Wall by Pink Floyd. And I remember just sitting there thinking, this is the most amazing thing I've ever seen. And watched it several times in that state when I have been, you know, partaking of lysergic dialethic acid, right? So years later, I hadn't seen it for years, and somebody was saying, Pink Floyd, The Wall, terrible film. And I'm like, what? What? How can you fucking say that? So I, like you, Shane, downloaded it. I'm like, put this on. Watched it with Sally. I was like, Jesus, this is pish. Yeah, absolutely fucking awful.
The soundtrack, good. The film, not great.
Philip, you have to be a teenager on drugs. Not even a teenager or on drugs, or not an adult on drugs. You have to be a teenager on drugs to enjoy
that. I remember
that
the first time I watched it sober, it was at the uni, and it was in a, like, a film as culture, you know, like a one of those kind of courses where somehow this guy has a job, so he's got to fucking validate the paycheck he gets. But no, we watched that, and it was the first time I've ever seen it sober, and I was like, Jesus fucking Christ.
And you are kind of, by the end of it, you're just, you know, you want to punch the character Pink yourself.
I think we typically want to punch Bob Geldof generally, but by the end of the film, you definitely want to get stuck into that motherfucker.
There was a venerable old show from the south of Ireland or from Southern Ireland, and Peter, you might remember him, Gay Byrne.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, right. He was, I think he was on air for about 106 years, wasn't he?
Something like that.
He had, and some of it's, there's a Billy Connolly interview from it that's on YouTube that you should go and watch. Billy Connolly in the 80s at his finest, and it's really funny. But he had Bob Geldof on one time, and I'll always remember this because he showed it on Channel 4 for some reason, this show, and it was on about 5 o'clock. So anything other than fucking Blue Peter, you know, so I'm not watching that. Fucking more school. You get in from school and they're like, we'll show you how to make this fucking thing to collect bird token. And you're like, fuck off. I've just been at school for 8 hours. Cartoons. But Bob Geldof came on to perform his new single. And it was a song called The Great Song of Indifference. And and it's like an acoustic thing. And it's... he performs it, and he's kind of stomping about, and you know, and he sits down next to this interview, and I'll always remember at the interview, Gay Byrne, venerable old Irish guy, said, "Ah, Bob, that was very funny," and he says, "It wasn't supposed to be funny." Saint Bob Geldof attempts to murder a man on air with his eyes. It was fucking hilarious.
We were talking. It was me and a buddy of mine. We were talking. He'd never seen the film. He knew Bob Geldof's name, but he didn't, you know of him. And I was like, all right, you know Mark Knopfler, right? He's like, I was like, can you picture Mark Knopfler? Yeah, you know, I'm saving money for nothing. I was like, all right, picture Mark Knopfler, then take away all the talent and accountability. Mm-hmm. And that's what Bob Geldof looks like.
To be fair, there are three good Boomtown Rat songs. There are, right? Rat Trap's a good song. Actually, there's four now I think of it. I'm being unfair. So there's four good Boomtown Rat songs, right? But how you can make four good songs in 1978 and still be making records in 2022, it's not his records that keeps Bob Geldof famous, right? All I'm saying. He was the ideal man to feed Africa because he made fucking one song stretch 35 years. So fair play to him, you know. He made I Don't Like Mondays go further than the fucking loaves and the fishes.
It's paid for a lot of goats for a lot of villages.
I look, wonderful man. Did some amazing, amazing things. But the fact we're supposed to take him seriously as a musician in this day and age, I don't. Oh, my stupid purchase this week. I'm going to two gigs later this year, right? The Damned and The Cure. Huge Cure fan. As I've spoken about my previous days as a goth, and my wife's the same. She loves The Damned. I said I'd go with it. I like the punk Damned, not so much the goth stuff, but she loves it all. So I bought a proper fucking frock coat for these gigs, right? And it's like a proper velvet, you know, fucking Count Dracul thing. And I bought it to wear to these gigs, and I showed it to Sally. Now, every normal human being, and my stepdaughter Lauren, every normal human being will look at it and laugh and go, for fuck's sake, right? You're kidding. That's what a normal human being would do, right? Sally and Lauren look at it and go, oh my God, that's fucking amazing. You'll look amazing in that. And I was like, I love you too. You're so odd. You know, you're so strange. You're not supposed to say that. And then Sally goes, you should get a top hat. And I'm like, again, that's not something that shouldn't be your reaction. But, ooh, a top hat. So, pick someone who's as strange as you folks and you'll be perfectly happy.
Oh, fuck. All right. You know, let's see. We got a few questions, but I think they're ones that we can actually talk about for a minute. We're going to have to get to that motherfucker David's question here. Not to be confused with David that we're talking about, or also David, who's trying to find me a Ballymacash Rangers top. Ballymacash Rangers, Mid-Ulster Football's premier community football club. Please go to @CashRangers and find out what they're doing. Graham Stephen, Peter, I think, you know, me and you kind of talked about this a little bit on the show on Wednesday or whenever it was. But right. Graham Stephen wants to know, having discovered the Crow Pod during lockdown and the joy of 55 where the Crow was pretty light, I'm seeing a different side in recent weeks on the back of some shitty results and board interviews. My question is, just how dark were those early episodes in 2012?
It was somewhere between the Middle Ages and the 1970s. Yeah.
Bob Geldof might have shown up and fucking helped us out.
Yeah, but we're better now, huh?
Yeah, things are much better now.
I mean, like I said, they're not tearing the copper wiring out of the walls. They're not making me happy, but they're not doing... Yeah, fuck. I still... You know, I think... Peter, me and you talked about that, but I like how Johnny let Robertson come on that next day after the Bennett interview and let him talk about one-off payoffs for qualifying for the Champions League, the players' contracts, and not ask him, well, what the fuck is yours? What's Bisgrove's? You know, what's Ross Wilson's contingency payment for making the Champions? How the fuck do you not ask? Like, David, look, you're not a journalist, right? And what you guys do, I fucking love. I haven't had a chance to listen to the Bisgrove interview because I've been busy this week around the house.
It's really good.
I'll probably do it after I get done with this.
Awesome.
I mean, my thing, like, from everything I've heard, like, you know, you asked the right questions, but people, well, he didn't ask the follow-ups. So I'm like, David is not a journalist. That's not, he does, like, it is a skill how we do this stuff, right? It's not, being a journalist is not some little bullshit fucking, right, fine, yeah, you get Graham Spears or cunts like McManus that somehow, you know, carve careers out and never get, well, you know, again, Arthur Laffer is still a very important man after 40 years of his economic ideas just not working. Once you're in, you're in. You know, you can be Steve Bruce once you're into journalism. But I will never hold you to account for that kind of stuff because, again, it's not what you were trying to do. Johnny is a fucking journalist. And to have him on the day after Bennett said the shit he did and him to say, well, you know, we've got these one-off contingency payments for making the Champions League for players. Again, the wage bill is his responsibility. You're the fucking managing director. If it's out of control, that's on you. But also, how the fuck do you not ask what their contingency payments were? What were the fucking payments to him and Bisgrove and fucking Wilson? How do you not fucking ask that? I don't get it. And now Robertson won't sit down for a real interview with anybody for the next 6 months.
See on that, and somebody did say to me, you know, why didn't you follow up on this? And I said, because that's the area that interests you most. What I did, and the reason why I think most people were happy with my questions, is I just took the things that people had asked me to ask. So yeah. It was, but I had a list of about a dozen and I had 30 minutes. So I could have gone in, but the first thing I went with my jails, because obviously that's something that a lot of people talk about. And I could have then gone in and went granular, but there's my half an hour. And what about the other 11 things that I've got to try and get in?
Yeah.
So my view was, I'm going to ask the questions that people have asked me to ask, and then I'm going to let him answer and you make your own mind up. And if you don't, you know, if you don't trust him on that, then that's entirely cool, because he's had a chance to respond to it. You know what I mean? It's not me like putting words in his mouth, or it's not coming from RTV. So that, and even then, in the half an hour, I had 12 things and I got to, I think, 8. You know, so if I'd done that, like, and I understand, like somebody said to me, oh, you know, you should have went in a lot more detail on my jails. I said, because my jails is the thing that you're most concerned about. But it's not the thing that the guy who asked me to talk about this is most concerned about. Do you get where I'm coming from? And he was like, yeah. So, absolutely. But he absolutely fucking dropped me in it, Bisgrove. But he didn't. But the club managed to do it because I hadn't
That was the elite thing that day, right?
I hadn't had an away ticket through my jails all season. And yes, people, I still have to, you know, apply the same way in case any of you thinks that I don't. And I hadn't had one all fucking season. And this pissed me off slightly, right? Because I buy fucking every piece of shite with a Rangers badge on it that they stick out. I apply for every fucking match, right? I do everything I'm supposed to.
You're like me.
To.
You've got 13 single sign-ins.
Yeah, right? I do everything you asked me to do, and I didn't even get fucking Livingston, right? So, and then the day after, I get Motherwell, which is the first one of the season. So, of course, you had people online going, fucking, you talk to Bisgrove, and then you get, I was like, no, he doesn't have a clue how fucking my jails works. He's not going to be able to sort it for me. So, yeah, they dropped me right in it with that one.
Nobody knows how the ticket office works, so I mean, good luck with that.
No, Rangers don't, and I mean that, and I'm not saying that to be facetious. Rangers don't. The people who've worked in the ticket office have worked in the ticket office since, you know, 1814. Honestly, it was formed round about the Napoleonic War, and they know how the system works, and nobody else does. So, you know, that's why people say, surely you could get tickets if you asked the club. I said, I could ask Robertson directly, and he could order them to give me a ticket, and he still wouldn't give me a fucking ticket. That's how it works.
Well, the only time Bisgrove and Robertson will take notice is if there are significant people not renewing my jersey because I think people do just see it. If you're not repeatedly getting tickets, and I know that there can't be many that are, but if you're in silver or bronze, it's basically a donation.
That's what it is. Yeah. So you get a tin, and Shane and I, we like a tin. But next year's stuff, like my jails and four strips and stuff, will drop because of the cost of living crisis. That is just a fact. But I mentioned this last night, and somebody said, well, maybe then the club will stop squeezing so much. I went, no, they'll squeeze you harder because when the revenue drops. See, on what you're talking about.
Well, again, our TV deal is worth less than the current one. So
any business will try and squeeze their existing customers harder. That's just the way of the world. I've got a decent Murray story from about bonuses to say. I might have told it before, but fuck it. if you don't like repetition, if you don't like repetition, you're in the wrong church.
David Baby Seal walks into a club.
Exactly. Duck goes to a barman. Have you got any bread? So I remember having a meeting with Murray summer 2008 after Kaunas, right? And this was after Kaunas, but before he did the spending on lots of players we couldn't afford to try and get the fans off his back thing that he would do. And I was saying, why didn't we spend any money? And he said, well, you know, we thought we had enough to get past Kaunas. We should have had. And I was like, yeah, but we must have made so much money last year. And he looked at me, he said, how? I said, well, we got to fucking Manchester. Surely that was worth a lot of money. And he went, well, see, the thing is, the player bonuses were enormous. And I said, why? He went, because we never fucking thought they'd get there. and he looked at me as if I was an idiot. He said, so, you know, the captain at the time did the bonuses.
It's like when you give the guys the bonuses on Football Manager. Nah,
it's exactly like that.
He's never scored 20 goals. Fuck, I owe this guy £4 million now? What the shit?
it was exactly that. This is, you know, at the start of the season, Barry comes in and says, if we get to a European final, we all get X amount. And Murray went, aye, okay. European final, is it? Sure, knock yourselves out. You can get all that. He said, and then they did, and that took all the money. And I genuinely believe him because he loved spending money. And he, you know, so, 100%. That's they promised him a shitload of cash, but he didn't expect, you know, as you say, it'd be like, if we win the European Cup, we get 100 million and the moon each. Yeah, no, fucking yes, sign that. There you go. So, yeah, that was literally what Shane described did happen.
Oh, let's see. Oh, all right. You know, let's do the offensive one here. David's looking for the Ballymacash Ranger shirt, Mid Ulster's premier community football club.
Under new ownership.
Coming soon. David Clapperton. Man, he picked the wrong fucking audience for this one. He said, what's your biggest contrary to popular belief opinion? Now we'll get to that.
What's wrong David with that?
Said, no, that's a great question. The problem is the follow up that he gave, which is I'll go first. Fuck. Dogs are pish. They stink. They slime all over you. They cover your house in hair, and they're generally annoying. If a spaceman landed on Earth, they'd think the dogs are in charge. We feed them, clothe them, bathe them. They make you walk when you can't be bothered, and even we pick up the shit in the street. They get the best place in front of the fire, comfiest seat in the living room, and take up the most room in your bed. All in all, dogs are garbage. Get them in the bin, correct? David, your invite to this show has been rescinded. Trust me.
I'll need to hang on a minute, lads. I'll need to get me pills. Actually, see, to be fair to David, see, until I was 30, I would have agreed with him. Get 100%. Grew up thinking I don't like dogs. Didn't think I did. Couldn't be near them. Didn't like them being near me. Thought they were annoying and slobbery and hairy. And then I met Sally, my at the time friend, now wife's dog, Minnie. And she, Sally.
Change your life.
Yeah, but don't ask on this next part. But Sally was my boss's, was my wife's boss. And my ex-wife came in and said, look, we are babysitting or dog sitting my boss's dog. I'm like, no, we're fucking not. I hate dogs. You know that. Fuck sake, blah, blah. And ranted and raved. And then the door went about 2 hours later and this wee thing came in and I was like, I fucking love you. And just, you know, and she was the same. She was like, I love you too. And it was just absolutely inseparable from then on in.
Well, so, I think Pedro, I mean, when I was very young, we had Springer Spaniels.
They're great dogs.
fucking amazing dogs. I mean, your dog looks fucking fantastic.
Yeah, he's mostly Springer. There's a bit of Lab in there. He's just chilled out. But can also go from not the 60 in 1.1 seconds.
Of course.
Yeah.
We've recently, last sort of 4 or 5 months, taken in a Cocker Spaniel who's nearly 10, but still
acting. Did you call it Joe? Tell me you called it Joe.
It's called Marley already, so we kind of kept the name. he's fab as well, although it's true what they say about Cockers. They are proper mental individuals and will get their own way. They're feet stampers in terms of sit and sort of either bark or paw until they get whatever it is they want. But no, wouldn't be without them. And there's a definite inverse relationship between as your tolerance for people goes down,
yes,
your tolerance for dogs goes up.
100%.
I feel bad. I mean, you know, send David and Todd pictures. You know, like usually Sage hangs out with me during the day if I'm working at my computer. But during the show, I can't, because, you know, she'll get up and shake and do her dog shit. Or if somebody comes to the door or whatever, I don't like going through that whole fiasco. But you know, I love it though too, because like any, you can tell if there's somebody outside. She gets that like razorback thing, you know. She's got one little spot in her hair between her shoulders that just go straight. It looks like Sonic the fucking Hedgehog there.
David, the listener, you just haven't met the right one yet. It really is that simple.
It's like a bird, you know. Yeah. It's the same thing.
I'm not saying mine would do that, because one of them's a fucking monster. The other one is honestly built like Atlas and jumps on you.
Boston's, you either get the calmest fucking dog in the world or you get the goddamn psychopath. Like the one that, you know, they're going to make a Netflix series about how many people it killed in 20 years. Like,
you know, she is, but she's so goddamn adorable that she gets away with it. But see, the worst, the worst I think I've ever felt in my life, other than a death, was the 4 hours that Daisy was missing. I was distraught. Yeah.
Distraught. When she went to get on the train?
Yeah, no, this was another time. But she, when she was missing, I was just, now, if Sally was missing for 4 hours, I could live with it. You know, especially if there was something good on the telly. So I certainly
know.
I wouldn't be panicking for 4 hours about her, but Daisy goes missing for 4 hours, and from like minute 7, I'm like, oh my god, out on the streets, you're walking about at 5 a.m. on a Saturday morning looking for
new Concon Britain's on. All right,
yeah, I was like, there's Shane's just dropped a show. I'll have time to listen to this before I go. So you know, it's just, you haven't met the right one.
Fuck, so we were out back working, you know, because we had the garden back there. So we were tearing it out on a Sunday, and I was building some stuff for next year and everything. And, you know, gardens are a year-round project. And
yes, that's true.
We're out back, and we got the dugout there, you know, because she doesn't leave the yard. Like, I put her on a chain while I let her out front. You know, and it gives her, like, 75 feet to run around, you know, from wherever the, you know. So, but, like, when we're out back, just let her run. She never leaves, except for when she does. And we're sitting there, and you know, because he's like, "Where's the dog?" It's like, "What the? You were? I'm running a goddamn circular saw down here. Do you think I know where the fuck the dog is?" Like,
yeah.
We finally find her. She went down the alley, you know, out back here, and she's down in one of the neighbors' yards. Which, you know, we're on top of the hill. Like, our house is right at the top of the hill, so they're down. You know, their house is about 50 feet below where ours is. And they have a retaining wall that backs up to the alley. She jumped down into their backyard and could not get back out again. She was stuck behind. Well, there's a pile of logs there. And I'm like, just fucking climb up the my knees hurt and my back hurts. And I finally had to climb down there. And, you know, like, see, you know when, like, if you steer a dog the right way, they finally do the right thing. I had to get down in this well, basically, fucking steer her up the log pile.
Shane, can we deal with the contrary to popular belief thing? As a rule, take popular belief, throw it away, stand quite a distance from it, and work your way from there.
Again, that's how you end up with the economy that you guys have. You know, trickle-down economics is a popular belief. I can tell you it doesn't work. I promise you it doesn't work.
Just for anyone who does believe in trickle-down economics, if we recall the time it was tried under Ronald Reagan, it worked for a couple of years, right?
It works enough to get you elected again, but it doesn't work.
It appears to work, but then what happened immediately after it, when the bills came in? George Bush, you had a recession, a pretty crippling one, and he had to raise taxes, which is supposed to be the whole... Because, funnily enough, you can't cut taxes and then keep spending the same amount of money, right? That isn't possible, okay? It just doesn't work. Even I know that, and I'm a fucking idiot. But this is, I've told you before, this is why I spend all my money as soon as I get it. You can't be too careful.
Jane, you'd mentioned the 40th anniversary of Cheers, I think, about which
Cheers was a popular program, Peter.
I do know incredibly little.
There's a shock.
There was a guy called Norm on it, and I think Woody Harrelson was in it. But that's the extent of my knowledge. But
my buddy's at the pub. Like I'm the Cliff Clavin of the pub. You know, like I just sit there quietly. I'm having nursing a beer, watching the game, and then all of a sudden I'll chime in with something about 16th century fucking French politics.
Listen, nothing wrong with that whatsoever. Do you know the best Cliff thing of all time, though, I think, was his theory about what the secret of the universe is? Comfortable shoes. Because according to Cliff Clavin, no man in history has ever achieved anything if he wasn't wearing comfortable shoes.
There's nothing wrong with a pair of hush puppies.
I love hush puppies. I fucking love hush puppies.
I wear Sperry's. They're they're deck shoes, which were always good in the bar because they don't slip. You know, that's kind of important. But I buy like 3 or 4 pair a year. You throw them in the washer when they get dirty, they come out clean, and then at the end of the year, I got some new lawn mowing shoes to work with.
So hush puppies, or Peter, you'll know hush puppies or Clarks. If you have to be on your feet,
all my dress shoes are Clarks. Fantastic.
I'm the same, and people say, "Oh, Clarks, you could be buying these daft designer ones."
Fucking
like, I could
500 pound Italian loafers or
that hurt that hurt my feet, or if I'm going to a wedding, I have to. Oh, right. Can I just get this off my chest? I know I'm jumping around a lot more than normal folks, but it's Friday and I'm off and I'm upbeat. It's not like a Tuesday, you know.
We got to get up and deal with Rangers.
We've got to get up and deal with Rangers, so I'm enjoying my Friday. I know I'm jumping about, but our podder, Stuart McCauley, is getting married on the 8th of October. The 8th of October is a Saturday. It's been planned for a while, I'll give him that, but Rangers are playing.
I think Tennessee plays Georgia that day.
Rangers play St. Mirren at Ibrox, right, at 3 o'clock. Yeah. So I need to go, we all need to go from Ibrox, so people will need to turn up at Ibrox in fucking gear to go to a wedding.
Yeah.
And then we all need to go at night to his wedding. And I tried. I tried everything, right? I tried jokey. I tried rude. I tried I'm not well. I tried I've got a bereavement that week and I'll fucking kill someone if I need to make sure that's true. I tried everything and he just kept coming back with what it would have been worse if he was disappointed rather than angry. Anger I can deal with because you can turn anger back and feel, even though you can unreasonably feel it. So I have to go to it, which means that we're going to be playing St. Mark. See if we drop any fucking points that day, then about 20 Heartland people are going to his wedding and we're going to fucking kick off.
David, by the way, I've annexed 4 Heart and Hand shows this morning, just so you're aware. I've just gone ahead and taken them.
All right, Vladimir.
We have plebiscite, and I've got control of 4 Heart and Hand shows now. So.
And to make the St. Mirren game easier, there's a train strike on as well. So,
well, on that, I said to Sally, I was like, there's this wedding. We don't normally make the other do things like this, right? If they, they don't know any of us, but friend's wedding, and you have to come. She's like, "Oh, right." I said, "No, I need a lift." Right. I said, "So you literally have to pick me up. You have to go." And she went, "Oh, David, I don't really want to." I said, "Sally, I didn't want to play this card, but in 2011, when we'd been together for 6 months, I went to your friend.
You got out the big diary and
yeah.
Let me leave. April 13th, 2011.
I went to your friend's wedding. It was held at the West Brewery in Glasgow. I went. I didn't know anybody. I didn't complain much. And I turned up. you owe me this. Also, and also I said, also I have the damned tickets and you're not going, and I'm not going with you if you don't come to this. So she's gonna do it. So I can get there and back at least.
That's going to be a great day for me because that'll be a 9 o'clock, you know, the 6 o'clock. Well, and the time change is about to happen. So I'll have those few weeks before our clocks catch up where I'll have to be up at 5 o'clock in the morning for the noon kickoffs. But that won't be good because it'll be 9 o'clock here, which is, you know, just like a normal time, basically. And then Tennessee kicks off at noon. So I'll get the hour in between. You know, to make some lunch for all of us and then sit down and watch Tennessee play.
You'll have an hour to go and calm down after the Rangers.
after whatever happens, and then,
We've got the ready-made excuses now. The Rangers die excuses of less time promoting fourth kits, more time training. I think it's already made for next week.
I have a terrible worry. I have a terrible, terrible worry, Peter, that with Rangers this season, that it's not a question of excuses so much as we might not be very good. And that is my worry about the rest of the season. If I'm being absolutely 100% honest with you,
it's crazy what happens when you line up the oldest average side that you've ever had in the history of a 151-year-old club back-to-back matches, that maybe you're not that good at football, which again comes back to the failure of the board and the execcom, which we've all talked about a lot recently, and I don't want to talk about again. So we're going to take basically Bill Huggins, our last question here, going back to Cheers, which again, Peter, Cheers was a popular American television sitcom during the 80s.
Well,
I do have
one short fiction piece after this question. So okay. I'll do that.
He wants to know how much of a toxic alcoholic was Sam during his playing days that despite playing for the Red Sox for 6 years, he seemed to have almost no friends from his playing days.
That's an excellent point. He had the one guy.
There was one guy that showed up who was just an asshole, right?
He was the sports presenter. And
Sam, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, and Sam would occasionally go and present the sports. But you're right, he had one in the whole run of the series during that particular period. Here was the thing for me when I was a kid, right? And I don't mean this in a derogatory way, but, you know, I was a small boy. I wasn't too aware of the birds and the bees. I was aware that I really fancied Diane and Rebecca, right enough. So I was aware of it to something. But I didn't understand why Sam was quite so irresistible to women.
I'll tell you what, man. Ted Danson has aged very well. I mean, he's got like on what the hell was the one with what's her name that's married to Chris Pratt, the one about heaven or hell or whatever the hell it was.
I haven't seen any television since 2000. So.
I can't even think of the name of that show now. It was quite good. It was
But I just
one of our listeners right now is like, it's this fucking show, you dumb.
He used to be. I will say the Cheers led to the most wrong I've ever been in my life, because when Cheers ended, I was gutted. I think a lot of people were, because you kind of grew up with it. You'd be the same, Shane. You know, in Britain, it had this huge, it was the first decent American sitcom we got. It was on a Friday night, which meant, you know, the weekend. You know, it's like, hey, no more school.
It was on Thursday night here, so yeah.
We got it Friday night. That and the Golden Girls, that's an hour of telly, folks, right? Yes. That and a Friday night, it meant when that came on, you know, that your weekend was really here, and you know, brilliant. But it ended, and then I remember reading in the paper it said there's going to be a spin-off from the television program Cheers, and I went, yay, thinking Norman Cliff. Right.
Yeah.
Maybe Woody. Right. Maybe Sam. Yeah. But it's gonna be Sam with Frasier. A way to fuck. That'll never work. Well, I was wrong there.
Oh man, Peter, what was your? You had a tale. You had a Tolkien kind of story going on. By the way, Peter, Tolkien was an author who wrote the.
kind of. After about the sixth attempt of COVID, and then actually managing to rebook for the day that was the Queen's funeral, which was then cancelled. Went to see the Book of Mormon, which is the musical.
Blair was at that too, I think.
That's been done.
Martin was at it last night.
By the South Park guys. And not really knowing what to expect. And it's about elders and the Mormon church being sent around the world to try and convert. Without going into too many spoilers, if you can get to see it, spend your money, spend whatever it takes. If the other half says, would you like to go, say yes. It's absolutely fantastic.
The first 10 minutes
is clever, and then it just turns into an absolute riot. I mean, if you're a fan of the South Park movie, you will recognize the hell scene at one point. And a very, very mini spoiler, any musical that manages to fit Johnny Cochran and Jeffrey Dahmer in it, in cameo is worth paying the money to go and see. It was fabulous.
They've done a good job with the Mormons, because the one I always, Joseph Smith was a prophet. Dum, 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 dum.
the music's available. I wouldn't advise you listen to it before you see it, folks, because it will spoil it for you. But the music itself is very funny, and it's on Spotify. But I wouldn't, you know, if you listen to the song before you go. So I remember going to see South Park, the movie, in the cinema, and it doesn't quite go the full 90 minutes, right? I don't think it keeps the consistency up, but the first half an hour is the loudest and sorest I've ever been laughing in a cinema, and the whole place was the same. That it was just, and it's like that, it's that kind of humor. So if you like Team America,
the only other film that I can think, like, on that par with the light was like when the Beavis and Butthead film came out, which is just fucking ridiculous. It's still fantastic.
And it's similar that, you know, like a lot of the cartoons, they can't quite, I think they can do about an hour, you know, animated. Simpsons films the same. You can do about an hour and then you should really.
I have never watched a Simpsons film because, well, I mean, for the same reason I haven't really watched it. I've watched about 5 Simpsons episodes since, what, season 13, 14? I mean, when the last of the original writing crew left, that was pretty much it.
You know, I still watch Simpsons every day, but very rarely is it anything. Because
Boyle, you know, he watched the whole goddamn thing, which is great. You know, awesome. I mean, I trust me, I'd rather watch that than the other fucking shit kids watch television these days. But if we sit down for dinner and he wants to watch the Simpsons, all right, we're doing that on my account. Because I'm only watching I want to see Frank Grimes. Moon Pie, what a time to be alive. You know,
Jasper's just, you know, easy come, easy go.
Why is Jasper here? Why is Grandpa here? Because Jasper didn't want to come by himself.
Yeah, I mean, there are a couple. There's one I actually recommend if you get a chance to watch it. I think it's Series 18, right? And that's about as far up as I can get to. And it's one Simpsons, the wettest stories ever told. And it's like three.
It's
pretty funny because I quite like, I still think they can do the historic stuff. Where I get really annoyed is when they retcon shit.
Yeah.
Right? So when they completely rewrote
Marge and Homer's relationship. Like, you did an episode about them living on the bad side of Springfield in an apartment back in fucking 1996. You can't come back in 2020 and have them like in a complete. No, that doesn't work. That's not how this works.
That annoys me. So I can do the ones that are kind of absurdist or don't fuck with, as you say, the timeline. But as soon as I see something like that, or just do little daft things where they'll say, oh, you know, Edna Krabappel, they'll do a flashback show and Edna Krabappel's there. It's like, no, she moved to Springfield. That's you set that up, one of the famous lines. I never heard the word and Biggins till I moved to Springfield, right? She is not a born and bred Springfielder. That's the whole fucking point of one of your best ever jokes, you cunts. So I'm getting annoyed even.
It's like with the X-Files. Like, you can have the Monster of the Week episodes.
You
can't go back and change the goddamn story about, you know, like his fucking sister and all that. Like, no, you can't. This This is a thing that's existed since the early 90s. You can't go back and change this shit.
And it matters to us, right? We know these characters. Yes! You're not allowed to go back and do that. So, no, Shane, you're absolutely right. Go and watch Who Shot Mr. Burns again.
We got to the point, that, like I said, I pulled it up on my account, and I was back up to the Simpsons spinoff special. I was like, oh, yes. Yes.
I still want to see those shows made.
Oh man! All right, I think that's it. We got. Hey, so speaking of getting through 90 minutes of content, because that's about all we ever have in us. it's where we are here. Like I said, please look. I'm giving some stuff away to everybody who signed up in September from the. Oh, actually, you know, while we're talking here, Graham from the Famous just chimed in with his. It looks like a Norfolk Terrier. It appears rather. That's been out in the rain for a little while, but our buddy Graham there, the Famous, with his cute little dog, nice dog. And I got Graham. Thank you for everything you guys do. Look, it's about to get cold. Go get your stocking caps and your scarves and your snoots from our friends over there at the Famous. I'll get in touch with the winners from this month sometime this weekend. So if you get an email from me. Please respond. Give me your address. I'll shoot some shit over to you. Again, coming Sunday, if you're listening to this in Heart and Hand, there's the Crow Pie Explains America about why we move our sports teams. And no, David, I actually am annexing one of your shows because me and Ingram are doing a college football show next week.
That's right. Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to it. That will be ideal. Two genuine, actual, bona fide Americans folk who know what they're talking about. So
yeah, I mean, look, Tennessee and Florida State played in the national championship back in 1998, and guess who won that one?
Oh, see if you start off with that.
Get it fucking up, yeah, Ingram.
That should make for a spiky 90 minutes, that one, yeah.
So no, we're going to do that one next week. You'll be able to find that. Just crop out in. I'll throw that one to YouTube, David. So, again, with Watergate 50, please, if you've been listening to the series, like I said, the last episode of the narrative part came out this week. Scroll down in the show notes on that, and there's a link down there. You can leave us a voicemail. We're going to take all your questions here in an episode or episodes coming up. And, that's it. Well, and now it's a new month if you're listening to this for the Crow Pod. So if you scroll down, hit the Buy Me a Coffee link, throw us a few bucks, you get Aaron in, you might win some stuff, again, from our friends over there at the Famous. So Peter, of course, you can always find on Twitter, at Ibrox, maybe at Ballymacash Rangers, Mid-Ulster Football's premier community club. But Peter, because I can find my Twitter at Seasider06. Thanks again, Peter.
Pleasure as always.
And I'll get with you. You know, Todd's off his suspension next week, but we're going to keep Peter around. I think I kind of like this. This is
Todd certainly picked the right nipples to go to vacation, didn't he?
Jesus fuck, man! I thought my brother lives outside of Orlando, and thankfully, you know, they missed the worst of it. He got, you know, he went out, he's like, yeah, I got my yard put back together the next day. It was better than the last one. So it's like, fucking move. Don't like, I like going to Florida. Don't fucking live in Florida. What are you doing, man? Oh God.
It looked a bit frightening. I will say that for your brother.
I mean, it's the thing. They're so fucking big now, you know, I mean, this is part of the climate change problem. You get these massive hurricanes. So not only do you have the storm surge and the winds and tornadoes and all the other shit, but then you get like 18 inches of rain because it takes 8 hours for this thing to go past. I mean, it's awful.
The thing though that I know they have to name them, right? And there's only so many names you can do, and they're becoming, you know, more frequent. So
the problem is we keep retiring the names because they're killing a lot more people.
They're killing a lot of people. Yeah. This one's called Hurricane Ian, and I would point blank be embarrassed to be murdered by a thing called Hurricane Ian. Right, I want to be killed by something like that's called Hurricane Dynamo, or, you know, Hurricane fucking Big Windy thing. Not by a bloke who sounds like an accountant.
Not by an accountant.
Yeah.
The one that hit Canada was Hurricane Fiona. It sounds like that awful power copy. Power couple coming round to the dinner party. It's like, fuck, Ian and Fiona are coming.
Hurricane Fiona. Yeah, I tell you what, you get two glasses of wine to that bitch, and it's like Hurricane Fiona over here.
You can have certain names, but you can't have, like, you know, Hurricane Rob. It just doesn't work. It's just, you can't do it. So come on, weather forecasters. If people, this might be the last thing they see, and you can't send people to the afterlife thinking, in their words, are like, oh my God, I've been killed by something called Ian. It's not fair.
I'll tell you, we got our buddy Allie Baines down there. I think it's making landfall in South Carolina. So well, hopefully, you know, Allie, hope you're good. Please be, you know, I know we got some listeners down there, so be safe.
I heard from Ali today. So. He's safe. Okay. Ali's popped excellent. Up in the group chat today, so he's still there with you. Us.
All right. Of course, David, everything on Heart and Hand, you find him on Twitter at Ibrox Rocks. If you want to talk to him about Watergate, you go to David A. Edgar 23. David, pleasure again.
Yeah, the account, I suspect I'll be more checking the next week or so.
Yeah.
I think... Yeah. You know me, guys, I'm Mr. Optimistic, but yeah, I'll see you in about a week.
Yeah. Well, Todd will be, obviously, we're not going to do Tuesday again next week because of Anfield, but Todd will be back, so we'll be back some point with the regular Crow Pod. But you'll have plenty of other shit, so go listen to that. And that's it. We'll talk to y'all soon. Please be safe.
Some people call me the space cowboy. Yeah.
I mean, you can't get fucking serious at all.